Today's reading is Psalm 130. And I'm reading from the NIV 1984 edition. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Connor from Hope Church, Aviemore. We pray for you guys often, and it's so lovely to be here with you all. As we begin to look at this psalm, let me start with a question. When was the last time you felt completely overwhelmed? And not knowing what to do, not knowing what to think, not knowing what to say. When was the last time life felt so loud inside your head that you kind of just slipped into autopilot? Or overthought everything until you were just paralysed, out of your depth, kind of drowning under the weight of it all. The weight of work, family, health, uncertainty, disappointment, hurt. Do you know, if we're honest, every one of us here can point to seasons where that's been true. Perhaps for some of us here today, that feeling isn't too far away. But maybe even here today, you feel overwhelmed, not just by life, but maybe even by your own spiritual condition. Perhaps the pressures of this year so far have exposed maybe how far from God you feel. And maybe different circumstances have revealed flaws or habits or sins that you never expected. And you just don't know how to deal with them. And maybe you started off this year with good spiritual rhythms and habits. But as life got busier, those things kind of slipped. And now you find yourself a bit spiritually low, spiritually lethargic, spiritually numb, maybe spiritually distant. Well, the good news from Psalm 130 is that it is written for moments like that. It's a psalm for the overwhelmed, overwhelmed by life, overwhelmed by sin. And what makes this psalm even more striking is that it sits within the Songs of Ascent, which are Psalms 120 to Psalm 134. And these were the pilgrim songs that God's people sung as they went up to worship God in Jerusalem. And they're all kind of songs of rising, moving up towards God, drawing near to his presence. And in the middle of those hopeful, upward-looking psalms, we find verse 1, this cry from the very bottom. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Before the people reached the temple, they needed a psalm that helped them to face their sin honestly, to cry out for mercy, and to cling to the character of God. So in our time together, we're going to see that Psalm 130 teaches us three things that we ought to do when we feel overwhelmed and in the depths. Cry, remember, and wait. So when you're in the depths, firstly, cry to Jesus who hears you. The psalmist starts off with a kind of spiritual SOS cry. And look at where this cry comes from, verse 1, out of the depths. And now the depths here is a picture of the sea. In Hebrew writing, the sea is a picture of chaos and death. And the picture here is the feeling of being so overwhelmed that it's like you've been thrown into the ocean You're as far down as you could possibly be. But look at who this cry comes to. Verse 1, I cry to you, O Lord. Now, this isn't a vague God. This isn't just the universe. The psalmist cries to the Lord, and the Lord here in all caps is the Lord Yahweh, the covenant name of God, the name that shows the relational closeness of the perfect and holy God to his people. And notice, here's the shock. The psalmist doesn't clean himself up first. He doesn't wait until he feels worthy. He cries from the depths. And notice, this is a real life moment for a very real believer in God. I think let that in and of itself be such an encouragement to us. You know, times of feeling in the depths are normal. Now, of course, that doesn't solve the issue, but it does take away that extra layer of guilt that we feel. And it's like all the other Christians around us seem to have a better handle on life and faith and godliness than we do. And we feel like a failure or a fake. Because only someone who knows the Lord would cry out to him the way the psalmist does, verse 2. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice for my pleas of mercy. From the depths, the psalmist cries out to the Lord again, but this time he calls him Lord, lowercase, Adonai. The word God which speaks into God being our master and us, his servants, recognizing his power and authority and our need for him. He knows who he's speaking to, a God who's both near and in authority, a God who listens and a God who rules. And he asks for mercy. He says, hear me, listen to me, help me. There's a couple of reasons why the psalmist could be crying out for mercy. You know, in life, we find ourselves in the depths for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it's because the world's broken, it's not the way it should be. Bad things happen to us and the people around us. Things like illness and death and tragic accidents, which just kind of sweep the rug from under us, leave us completely at a loss. And if that is you, cry out to God. Hear me, listen to me, help me. Sometimes it's the consequences of the sin of others around us who've hurt us and leave us with scars which make us feel like we're in the depths. You know, in the psalm before this one, there's wicked people about oppressing God's people. And even though God shows up and helps, we still start this psalm right at the bottom. And I wonder if that's how your life feels sometimes. Things are going great, God helps, and then we're back to square one. If that is you here this morning, cry out to God, hear me, help me, listen to me. But I do wonder if there's something a little bit more going on here. How about the fact that sometimes we can find ourselves in the depths because of our own sin? You know, our sinful desires lead to sinful thoughts, which lead to sinful actions, which snowball and snowball until we've made a mess of our relationships, our health, our resources, our lives. And I think mercy from sin is the kind of mercy that the psalmist is asking for. With all the different ways that we find ourselves feeling overwhelmed and in the depths, I wonder how often as believers we cry out from our hearts with this level of emotion to God because of our sin. And not because of the consequences of our sin, but because of just how ugly our sin is before God. I wonder, when was the last time that you cried out to the Lord for mercy? Hear me, listen to me, help me. You know, sometimes we feel so in the depths that we don't think that God can hear us, or even if we did cry out, he wouldn't listen. You know, he's all the way up there, we're all the way down here, and we're far too sinful. Well, the psalmist prays in confidence that Yahweh, Adonai, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who sees everything, who knows everything, will hear everything, even the broken cry of a broken human. And actually, we should have that same confidence, because who do we cry to? Not a distant God, but we cry to Jesus, the one who in Gethsemane cried out from his own depths, not because of the consequences of his own sin, but because of the consequences of ours, so that people like us, you and me, may know again and again what it is to be forgiven. So when you cry, you're not just shouting out into the void. You're crying out to the God who hears. You're crying to Jesus who saves. And when you cry out to God for mercy, he really does hear you. He listens to you and he does help. Maybe not in the way that we imagine, but he does. So when you're in the depths, firstly, cry to Jesus who hears you. But secondly, when you're in the depths, remember that Jesus has forgiven you. See, after crying out for mercy from the depths, the psalmist does some thinking, verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who would stand? Or in other words, if God kept a record of our wrongs, who would stand? You know, it's a question that we, of course, know the answer to. No one. And not you. Not me. Not the best person in this room. If God kept a score of every single wrong thing that we have ever done, properly, fully, justly, there would be no hope for any of us. But do we believe it? Do we really believe that God is so pure and holy that sin can't bear to be in his presence? Or do we really believe that just like turning on the light gets rid of all the dark in the room, sin before a holy God can't exist? Or do we really believe as Christians that sin, or the darkness that each of us has inside of us, really is that bad? Or do we sometimes tend to have a smaller view of God and therefore a smaller view of sin? Or to flip it around, if we have a really small view of how twisted and evil and bad sin is, then we probably have a small view of how pure and holy and perfect God is. Now remember, the psalmist knows the answer to their own question. They're a believer and actually being brought low, whether by circumstances outside or by their own sin, has really made them think about how dire their situation is without God. And we have a lot to learn from that, a right response to sin. Because it's only in the depths of despair over sin that we can truly appreciate the beauty of verse 4. But with you there is forgiveness. And what a reminder that is. Our God is the God who forgives. But with you there is forgiveness. Not might be, not if you try hard enough. There is forgiveness, certain, real, offered. And that forgiveness is found in Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't just say that you're forgiven and that's it. He takes the punishment that Psalm 130 says that we deserve on the cross. You know, the record that should condemn us, he takes it, he pays it, he removes it. So when you cry out to mercy, you're not just hoping that God will overlook your sin. You're trusting that Jesus has already dealt with it. So if you're here and you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by your sin, if you feel racked with guilt over things that you've done in the past, or maybe in the not-so-distant past, remember that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And not only does he have the power, he is willing to forgive. He won't turn you away if you cry out to him. And he died on a cross so that all who would call on his name would be saved. He is the merciful Lord who washes our record of sins away by his blood. It's so easy to forget, isn't it? You know, we can feel trapped by our sin. We can feel like we're not really getting anywhere with godliness. There's not much growth. But Psalm 130 shows us that we need to remember that God forgives. Because actually, when we forget, we listen to the devil's voice telling us that we're too far gone, that we've sinned ourselves out of God's kingdom. And instead of crying out, instead of drawing close to God, trusting that he will draw near to us, we withdraw, from him, from his people, from everything. So don't let that be you here today. Remember that Jesus forgives. But also remember that forgiveness has a purpose. The psalmist reminds us of that in the second part of verse 4. So that you may be feared. That last line also translates as, so that with reverence we can serve you. We have been forgiven so that we can fear and serve God. And you know, it's probably not the answer you'd give if someone said, oh, what's it like being a Christian? Oh, well, it's absolutely terrifying. But in some senses, being forgiven should cause us to fear God. And not being scared of what he'll do to us if we don't keep every toe in line, but totally trembling in awe of who he is and what he's done, which should motivate us to live for him. You see, forgiveness isn't just a free pass to drift and do whatever we want now that we're right with God. It's a reason to live differently. You know, if you've been forgiven much, you don't take sin lightly anymore. You know, you fight it, you hate it, you turn from it. But not to earn God's love, but because you've already received it. You know, living for him, choosing to obey, even when it's hard and inconvenient, even when it feels like we're missing out on something great, and knowing that God is a good God who has something better for us. And knowing that if we're truly his, we will mess up along the way. But because of Jesus, he loves us, is for us, and he's actually empowered us by his Spirit to live for him. So when you're in the depths, firstly, remember, cry to the God who hears you. Secondly, remember that Jesus has forgiven you. And thirdly, wait for Jesus who's coming back for you. That's what we've seen so far. The psalmist cries, he remembers, and now he waits. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. The psalmist has brought it all to the Lord. They're trusting that the Lord is forgiving. Their hope is rooted in who God is and what he's done in human history. And so they wait and wait and wait. Four times it says, I wait. And why is that? Because actually, even with forgiveness, everything is not yet fully fixed. Sin still lingers. Struggles in this life still remain, and the world is still broken. But God has promised that one day he will come back and fix it all. So he waits. Verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. The psalmist is like a watchman on night duty in the pitch black, whose whole job is to guard the city from sudden attacks. He's waiting for the light to pierce through to signal the dawning of a new day. That's his shift over. Well, to help us feel the length of that wait, he repeats the line, verse 6. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Now, the psalmist knows that just as surely as light follows the darkness, surely the Lord will return and bring his great light into a world of complete darkness and into hearts which are full of darkness. But until then, they wait. Now, God's people in the Old Testament would have been particularly aware of this waiting. You know, they're singing these songs on the way up to Jerusalem to celebrate festivals like the Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Booths. And those were all reminders of the Exodus, of God redeeming his people from slavery, leading them through the wilderness and taking them into the Promised Land. And this psalm, just like those festivals, are a reminder that there's so much to remember about what God has done. There's also so much to look forward to. The Exodus was pointing to something greater to come. But until then, they were to wait patiently, wait expectantly. Or as the psalmist says in verse 7, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. An Exodus not just from slavery in Egypt, but from a greater slavery to sin. Waiting for a promised land that wouldn't be just as broken as the rest of the world, but a greater promised land where there'll be no more tears and death and pain, where sin would no longer be able to come and corrupt. All made possible because of verse 8, and he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. See, that's what the psalmist is waiting for. It's what God's people in the Old Testament were waiting for. And actually, even though Jesus has come, he's brought the light of the gospel into the world, we as Christians can take this psalm and pray it. Because as Christians, we too are waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to return. You know, we're waiting for the day when sin is gone completely, when we will be perfect, when the struggle ends, when the depths, the feeling of being overwhelmed is no more. There's a day coming where he will return and make all things new. We will be perfect. We will live forever with him in a new earth that isn't broken. That's great news, because look at us. We still mess up. We're not as we should be. When you're in the midst of it, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. When it comes to living for God and fighting sin, sometimes it just feels like every day is another day to fail. And it would be such bad news if this was as good as it gets as a Christian. You know, saved by Jesus and then falling into the old ways and bad habits for eternity. But we need to remember that the morning will come, Jesus will return, and we will be made perfect. But for now, just like the psalmist, we wait in hope, trusting in the promises of his word. So what would it look like for us to be better at waiting for Jesus? You know, the psalmist knows who their Lord is, the merciful Lord who hears them. The psalmist knows what their God's like, forgiving with unfailing love. The psalmist knows what's to come, the Lord's return. But what can you do to make sure that you know the Lord Jesus? But did you notice there's been a lot of I in this psalm, but at the end, verse 7, the psalmist addresses the whole people of God. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. You see, this waiting is a group project. I wonder, what would it look like to help one another get to the end? Especially when some of us are soon going to be in the depths, or most likely already are. How can you and we be better at encouraging one another, being a church that is open with one another, speaking truth to one another? Because actually we really need each other. We need each other to remind us that Jesus really does hear, that Jesus forgives, and that Jesus is coming back. Sometimes when we're in the depths, it can be hard to believe those truths, but it's the time when we need those reminders the most. So when you're in the depths, wait for Jesus's return, knowing that there's an end to all the sin and pain and feelings of being overwhelmed. So to wrap up, we're all going to mess up. Now, each of us in different ways and to various degrees, and we may find ourselves at times feeling completely overwhelmed with no idea what to do, no idea what to think, no idea what to say. Sometimes life is going to get so loud inside our heads with the weight of work and family and health and death and uncertainty, disappointment, hurt. And we're going to feel out of our depth, drowning under the weight of it all. Psalm 130 is something that we ought to get familiar with and pray for ourselves and for one another, because it teaches us that when we feel overwhelmed and in the depths because of life, because of sin, we can cry out to Jesus because he hears us. And we can remember that the Lord Jesus forgives, and we ought to encourage one another to wait for Jesus to return. Because the one that you cry to is the same one who went to the deepest depths so that we wouldn't have to stay there. Why don't we pray to this great God now as we finish? Lord God, we thank you so much for the psalm. We thank you that you are a great God who is forgiving and compassionate. Thank you that we can cry out to you, knowing and trusting that you hear us, that in Christ you are for us. We thank you so much for the forgiveness that there is in Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to daily turn to you. Help us to expectantly wait for Christ to return. Lord, we just long for that day where we will be perfect, where we won't have to deal with sin anymore, where we'll be in a perfect world where nothing goes wrong, and we'll be with you forever. Lord, thank you so much for this church. Lord, I pray that you would bind them together in love and unity. And Lord, pray that you would continue to help them see the riches of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.